Our scripture reading for our message is from 1 Corinthians, and you'll find it printed in your bulletin. It's a wonderful chapter. All of 1 Corinthians 15 is just a wonderful chapter of the resurrection hope that we have. And so these are some select verses from that chapter. Here's the word of God. I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man also has come the resurrection of death. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some other grain. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this mortal body must put on immortality. When the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Let's pray. Father, our only hope is in the resurrection of Jesus. But what a hope! Unshakable, firm, the anchor of our souls. Father, speak to us now through your word as we think about you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I get to say something this morning that you don't actually get to say very often at a funeral with full honesty. And that is, everyone here knows that to have known Bonnie Brough was to have loved her. For you were guaranteed to have been blessed and encouraged by her. The tremendous turnout here today, as well as yesterday at the funeral home, testifies to the number of lives who have been impacted by this truly remarkable woman. And I have known many people in my life, and Bonnie is a special one. And I think we all know that. Every one of us who knew Bonnie would say very quickly and easily what a good woman she was. But Bonnie would never have said that about herself. She would never want us to think of how good she was. And it wasn't from some false sense of humility, but rather it was from her deep knowledge of her own sin and weakness and her deep appreciation for the love and strength and goodness of her Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a short lady, Bonnie was a towering pillar of strength and encouragement and blessing to all who knew her. She would pray for you, hug you, send you a card of encouragement, meet with you, listen to you, offer you some wise advice, and do whatever she could for you. And she did make the best crumb cake. I am married to a woman who knows how to bake, and I am the son of a woman who knew how to bake, but Bonnie Bruff's crumb cake was the best crumb cake in the world. So many people came to rely on Bonnie for so many different things. For me, there was much to appreciate about Bonnie, particularly over the past 5.5 years that I was blessed to be her pastor. As elders, we would meet at the Bruff home, and Bonnie would always put out a spread of food for us. We never need to worry about getting dinner because the snacks that she put out would be more than enough. And then she would very often, she knew when as a pastor I was feeling tired or a little discouraged. And she would make a point to wait and come up to me and just encourage me in a very sincere way. We love your preaching of God's word. We're so blessed to be under your teaching. Keep preaching the word. And it was just exactly what I needed to hear. And when our parents couldn't come to Grandparents' Day here at the school for our kids a few years ago, Ernie and Bonnie came to be the grandparents for the day. And when I lost my mom last year, Bonnie was the one to give me my mom hugs every Sunday morning. And my mom was a little lady too, so they were just the right size. The pastor's not supposed to lose it. Well, she has gone home to be with her Lord, whom she loves so much. And I know that what she would want us to know is that every bit of the goodness and encouragement and blessing that we received from her flowed through her from the Lord. She would want her to know that any wisdom that she had for us was God's wisdom. Any strength she had for us was God's strength. Any encouragement she gave us was God's encouragement. Any love she extended to us was God's love. And she would want us all to look to Christ, who is the fountain of all wisdom and strength and encouragement and love. Because he is the one who never fails. And he sustained Bonnie, and he will sustain all of those who look to him. So we must all look to him, even as we grieve. And we grieve because death has taken Bonnie from us. How should we think about death? Some people have said that death is just a natural part of life. It's just the circle of life. Well, those of us who have felt the pain of losing someone very close to us know without a doubt that there is nothing natural about death. And to say that death is just a natural part of life is a complete contradiction. It doesn't make any sense. Why do we feel that way? Why do we know that it's wrong? We know that it's wrong because when God spoke the world into existence by the power of his word, he did not create a world of death and loss and separation. He created a world of life, of joy, of abundance, and of relationship. And it was only when sin entered the world that death followed sin, and the shadow of the curse of the fall fell upon all of God's good creation. And so death is an invader into God's world. Death is an enemy. As we read, it is the last enemy. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The Bible is very clear that death comes into the world because of sin. God warned Adam that if he ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would surely die. And the day that he ate of the fruit, Adam committed cosmic treason. He betrayed and abandoned the Lord who had lovingly created him in his image and had given him everything to enjoy. And he died spiritually that day. And he began to die physically. And death had entered into the world. Every day since that day, every son of Adam and every daughter of Eve has been born under the shadow of the curse of the fall. We're born spiritually dead, cut off from the presence of God, in desperate need of salvation, and our days in this world are numbered. Yet even in the midst of their rebellion in that garden, God mercifully promised his people life. Even before he cursed them and drove them out of the garden, in Genesis 3:15, he promised that there would come a seed of the woman who would be crushed in his heel by the serpent, but who in doing so would crush the head of the serpent, dealing the decisive blow to the enemy who brought death into the world. Thousands of years later, Galatians 4, 4 and 5 tells us, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. To redeem the fallen and broken, Jesus himself became a man, the promised seed of the woman, born of a virgin, who would fulfill the law by his perfect obedience and who would suffer and die, taking on himself willingly the consequences that we all deserve because of our sin, our willful rebellion against God. We just read in 1 Corinthians 15 that the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And so when Jesus came into the world, he had to fulfill the law and then take away the sting of death by becoming sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, Jesus willingly paid a debt that he did not owe, because each of us owed a debt that we could not pay. He became sin on the cross so that he might settle God's justice and deliver us from condemnation. And that's why right before Jesus took his last breath on the cross, he cried out the most wonderful word that's ever been cried out, "It is finished." Meaning the debt has been paid in full. And then the most remarkable thing happened that has ever happened in the history of the world. 3 days later, he rose again. And he rose again in a way that no one else ever has. He rose again never to die again. He rose again in a glorified body. He rose again in a body that could not die. It is so important that we understand and believe in the resurrection of Jesus. It is no myth. It is no fairy tale, it is no fiction, it is no fantasy, it is no wishful thinking, it is a fact of history. And so Paul goes to great lengths in 1 Corinthians 15 to explain to us who saw Jesus when he had risen from the dead. He said, "I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." And then he says, "Last of all, as one born out of due time, he appeared also to me." So Paul's giving us a list of people that we could go and check and verify. And Jesus rose again to never die again. We are sitting here 2,000 years later, and Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father in the same body that rose again from the dead in that grave in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And he will come again in that same body to judge the living and the dead. This truth is so vital, is so important, is so life-changing that it transformed these apostles. They had been a group of scared men cowering in the upper room with the doors locked, afraid that the authorities were going to come and break the door down and drag them all off. And then they emerged and they began to preach publicly, unashamed, that Jesus had conquered sin and death, that he was risen again. They went forth and they said what Job had said by faith, "For I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself. And my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me." But Paul tells us more than just the glorious truth that Jesus rose again and defeated death. He tells us that Jesus' resurrection secures our own resurrection. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead, the first fruits of the resurrection. He's the first to receive a glorified, undying body, but he is not the last. Verses 20 to 25, we read them. "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has also come the resurrection from the dead. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he's put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." You see, death has been defeated by Jesus. But when Jesus comes again, death will be destroyed. Utterly destroyed. He's reigning in heaven now until all of his enemies are put under his feet. And then he will come and destroy death, which means that all the dead will be raised. But where is Bonnie now then? While we wait for Jesus to return and destroy death and to raise all the dead, where is Bonnie? Where are those like my mom and the saints who have gone before while they wait for their glorious resurrection bodies? Well, God tells us that very clearly through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For we know that if the tent, that is, our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given to us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." This body we live in is just a tent. When I first met Ernie and Bonnie, one of the first things I learned about them is that they like to go camping. And I thought, yeah, great, we got people in this church who like to go camping. And the Trammells would go camping, and the Baxters would go camping. And I thought, wow, that's great. I love camping. And then I found out, they don't really go camping. They went portable hoteling. I was a little disappointed, but this body that we live in is a tent, and I'm a tent camper, and I like being in a tent for a few days, but it gets old after a while, and that's what it is for our bodies. They get old after a while. And I remember last year when Ernie said he wanted to step down from being on session. He wanted to retire. And we gave him elder emeritus status within the church. And I thought,
You can't be getting older. You're Ernie Bruff.
But it happens to all of us. But when we're removed from this tent, as Bonnie has been removed from her tent, we are away from the body, but we are at home with the Lord. And how much better is that? How much better is that? So Bonnie's at home. She's home with her Lord. She's in his great presence. She's at perfect peace. She has full joy. She is happy as can be. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, like Bonnie did, her present joy is our future destiny. When these bodies are worn out, we'll be with her around the throne of Jesus. And together we will be raised like Christ and be given glorified, undying bodies. And we will be with the Lord and with one another in the new heavens and the new earth forever. We are passing out of this world, out of the cursed shadow of death, into the endless world of life and light, where Jesus reigns forever and where there will be nothing but life and joy in our resurrected bodies. For because of Jesus, our separation from Bonnie is just temporary. It's hard, but it's only temporary. But what if you are here this morning and you do not know the Lord? What if you are not trusting in Jesus as Bonnie did? Well, the Bible says that you too will be raised. The Bible says that you too will see Jesus on that great and glorious day. On that day, Jesus will say to Bonnie Bruff, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." For those who do not know the Lord, Jesus will say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And the Bible calls this the second death, to be eternally separated from God, to be shut out in outer darkness, where Jesus himself said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, everyone's resurrection from the dead is as certain as Jesus' own resurrection from the dead. He secured resurrection for all. This year, this crazy year, has taught us that nothing in this world is ever predictable. Bonnie had lost her two closest lifelong friends, Ron, Bon, and Nan. And that was one of the last conversations I had with her. She said, "Jason, we really need to get together and plan our funerals because I've lost Nan and Ron, and I keep losing my friends, and I know that I don't have that much longer." And so I said, we will. This life is unpredictable. You never know what a day will bring. But there is one thing that I can guarantee you on the full authority of God's word, and that is that you, all of us, will be raised from the dead and will stand before Jesus. And the question you need to answer today you need to answer this question: what will Jesus say to you on that day? No one knows when our last day in this life will be. When you look into the face of Jesus, will you see the glorious face of a Savior you've always longed to see, or will you look into the face of one whom you've denied and run away from and tried to shove to the side? "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master, or depart from me, I never knew you." Which will Jesus say to you? You might think, "Well, I could never be as trusting and good as Bonnie Bruff was." But you see, the Lord doesn't save us because we're good. He saves us because we need saving. He saves us because we need to be rescued from ourselves. And he rescues us from ourselves whenever we look to him and cry out to him for salvation. He will save all of those who look to him in faith in the name of Jesus.
And so how can you be saved? Look to Jesus in faith and ask him to save you. Look to God and not yourself. Don't try to put together a checklist of all the things you have to get right in your life so that God will accept you. Simply cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that is a prayer that God delights to answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. We only get one trip through this world. Hebrews 9, 27 and 28 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He will appear to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. When will you draw your last breath in this life? Only God knows. None of us had a thought that Bonnie was going to go home to her Lord when she did. But all of our days are numbered. And what's most important is that when judgment comes, when Jesus returns, will we be among those who are eagerly waiting for him? Will we be among those Jesus is coming to save? I cannot wait for that day. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I hope and pray that all of you will be with us on that day. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your love is unfailing. You gave everything you had to give when you gave your Son for our salvation. Father, I pray that we would all turn to you, trusting in Christ, looking to you to forgive us of our sins, to adopt us as your children, and to raise us from the dead like Christ in glory forever. We thank you for Bonnie's life. We thank you for her clear testimony. We thank you for the way that your love shone through her to each of us. Father, may your love shine in each of our hearts and then out of us to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive now the Lord's benediction. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.